y'all. As many times as I've preached here on a Wednesday morning or a Friday afternoon, this is a little different. But God has a word, amen? So first, giving honor where honor is due to my Lord and Savior, who is the first in my life. I couldn't always say that. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of us always need to be honest, right? So I couldn't always say he was first in my life, even though I was raised and brought up in the church. We cannot lie about that, but he is first now. And that's all that matters, amen? Giving honor to my pastor who saw fit to allow me to stand in this sacred place. It is an honor to be able to bring the word of God to God's people. And if you've seen me preach before, you understand that I'm a walker. I'm sorry, cameraman, please forgive me now. I'm a walker, and I'm a little short, so sometimes I have to stretch up a little bit. I got my heels on. Don't be mad if they start hurting and I take them off, because that just means that Jesus is working something out, amen? And I also don't preach very long. Holler. Sometimes Jesus said, get it and get out the way. I'm hoping he's going to do that for us today. Amen. Won't you stand with me and turn your word to John, the third chapter, verse 1-8. John 3, verses 1-8. Say amen when you've got it. Now, normally y'all would see me reading from my Bible, but I'm going to read from the paper. I promise it says exactly what's in the Bible. That way my eyes don't fail me, because even though he has me, sometimes my flesh gets a little weak. Amen? And it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly, somebody say, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Please pray with me on this topic. Are you born again? Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to stand and proclaim the gospel one more time, God. Father, I ask that you hide me behind the cross. We've been in conversation all morning long, God, but right now I'm just asking for a new special anointing. I know you can do it, God, because you've done it before. Father, I ask that you open the minds of your people, that you open their hearts wide, that they may receive a new, fresh word, God, even from an old message. I thank you, Father. I know you're going to do what only you can do, and I'm going to step up out of your way. Have your way, God. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our collective hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. This is a very familiar and well-known passage. It's one that we have all heard before. But God can reveal new things in new ways over and over and over again. So let's take a little walk through the scripture and see what God has for us today. Here we have Nicodemus, an important man, a Pharisee, a member of the ruling Jewish council, coming to Jesus for a little one-on-one time. He wanted to have a personal conversation with Jesus. He wanted to ask him some questions, to drill him on some things, to see if the rumors were true, to hear what he had to say without all of the accusations, without all of the name calling, without anybody else being around. He just wanted to talk with Jesus. So he waited till the dead of night. Isn't that like what we do today? We wait till the dead of night to have a little conversation with Jesus. It sounds a little sneaky. It sounds a little underhanded. He is a Pharisee. It even sounds as if he might be trying to trip him up so that he can run back to his boys and say, listen, you was right. But Jesus had another plan for him. Amen. See, Nicodemus wanted the dead of night so that nobody could see him who might recognize him. You don't know what someone will say, what someone will do. And don't we do that today? We do that today. We don't pray at our desks. We don't anoint the walls when we know hell is being raised up in the place. We don't pray over our children in public. They don't pray in school. They won't pray on the street corner. They don't praise God when they know they ought to praise God. Because for whatever God did for you that day, you ought to stop right then and there and praise him. Not wait for the midnight hour to come in when now you got to think about all the problems that you had. Don't think about the problems. Praise him. That's all he wants. He wants you to praise him. I know most of y'all got Facebook, right? Did anybody see the post with the lady who had driven her car up in somebody's yard on this really big fountain-like thing? And the car is dangling. And what is she doing? She's out on the sidewalk praising God. And the white people are standing around looking like, what's she doing? She's praising God. They thought she was hurt. No, she was praising God. She was shouting. She was jumping. All she kept saying was, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It could have been me. How many of you would be able to do that in a public place? How many of you are not ashamed of the gospel and not ashamed to let someone know I'm a child of God? I'm blessed and highly favored. We can say it, but do you know it? Do you show it? Are you blessed and highly favored? Nicodemus was curious. He had heard of the miracles that were performed by this man, Jesus, and he heard what people had said about him, but he just needed to understand some things for himself. So he went to the source. My brothers and sisters, how many of you know the best way to get to the bottom of something is to go to the source? See, I don't know exactly what their conversation was. It doesn't tell us that. We don't have a play-by-play, a question-by-question, or an answer-by-answer. We don't know if it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 10 hours. All we know is that they had a conversation. And in this conversation, Nicodemus acknowledges that Jesus is a teacher from God. This is a Pharisee, y'all. Because who else would be able to do all the things that he has done if he wasn't of God? But then Jesus throws a little bit of salt into the mix. He answers, but doesn't answer back what Nicodemus said. You would have expected that he would have said, yes, you're correct, Nicodemus. Go tell somebody. Actually, you would have expected him to say, don't tell nobody. but he didn't. He says that you need to be born again. In my sanctified imagination, I can hear Nicodemus saying to himself, "What just happened?" You ever say that? What just happened here? I thought we was on the right track and something just flipped the switch. He didn't confirm my statement. What does he mean by one must be born again? Is he losing his mind? We just had this awesome conversation and now this? Jesus was imparting some spiritual knowledge, and all Nicodemus could do was think carnally. All he could do was get a literal figure of a woman pushing out a baby and a man trying to go back where he came from. Ouch. All you women know what I'm talking about. You men, y'all catch that when you get home. See, even though Nicodemus was a leader, he couldn't think outside the box. He knew that he had some knowledge. He knew what he knew, and that's all he wanted to know. He didn't think to look in a different direction. But then Jesus broke it down for him a little bit more. And this is where things got complicated. How many of you know life is complicated? Mm-hmm. Jesus says in verse 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, it sounds really complicated. It really does. But it's more simple than you think. Just don't overthink the statement. Jesus says you must be born of water and Spirit. And some people think that he's talking about baptism. He's not talking about baptism. Amen. Why isn't he talking about baptism? Because baptism doesn't save you. The blood saves you. So if you get a chance to be baptized or not before the Father calls you home, if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. There's no other requirement. That's it. Simple, yet so complicated. Hallelujah, God. Remember the story in chapter 4. Matter of fact, Pastor just preached on it. The Samaritan woman at the well. See, Jesus was offering her living water. And even today, Jesus is offering all of us living water. They say you cannot lead a horse to water. Right? You can. You just can't make him drink. I'm not calling y'all horses. I'm really not. But are you ready to drink? That's the question. Are you ready to drink? All right. Hallelujah. See, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. He is the water. Amen. And he says to be born again, you must accept him as your Lord and Savior. Now, he made it very specific. I had to say it, even though I took it out of my paper. Your Lord and Savior, not the Lord and Savior. There's a difference. Because the Lord and Savior tells me, okay, I understand and comprehend who Jesus is. Your Lord and Savior says, I have a relationship that's personal to me with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, you're headed down a winding road. Amen. Because Jesus paid the price for our sins, we are now free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But remember, the scripture says water and Spirit. So what are you free from? And what are you free for? I'm free to receive the Holy Spirit. I've cast out all of those things that I used to do
Okay, let's not say we cast them all out. Y'all know we didn't cast them all out. A good portion of them. Most of them. You ever notice that every time you cast something out, something else sneaks back up? Amen. That's only because you were so dirty in the first place that God had to take one little thing and work on that one thing first. Because if he cleans you up all at one time, you wouldn't be no good. You wouldn't be no, oh, I am just so saved, holy and sanctified. No, you filthy just like me, saved by grace. Amen. When you're in the flesh, you cannot see things clearly. There's always going to be something or someone that's going to keep you from seeing what God has for you. Check this out. I don't have the rent money. And you know my landlord, she don't play. She's about to evict me. I've been praying to God, but I don't know where that money coming from. My baby daddy acting up again. Do you know he brought someone over to my house when he picked up that? Do you know? Always something or someone blocking you from your blessing. Maybe your rent's not coming because you need to get up out of that place that ain't no good for you. Maybe the drug dealers on the street you need to get away from. Because if you're not fighting them, you're joining them. Habits are hard to break once they've been picked up. So maybe God is removing you from that situation, and you're so concerned about what you don't have that you can't see where God is taking you. So no, we don't see clearly when we're in the flesh. See, God knew that when Jesus died on that cross, that we needed some guidance. We still needed to have God's presence amongst us. And if I can't have Jesus, I thank you, Lord, I have the Holy Spirit. Now, for all of you little kids, y'all know I teach the little kids with Miss Jane, and I had to figure out a way to tell the children about the Holy Spirit. What his function is. What is our response supposed to be? So I'm going to tell you what I tell them. Y'all remember Pinocchio? What it sat on Pinocchio's shoulder? Come on. Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket sat on Pinocchio's shoulder. And he was his conscience. He told him right from wrong, what to do, what not to do. Told him, don't you lie. You know your nose is going to grow when you lie. Did Pinocchio always listen? No. But he still had Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy didn't say, I'm tired of you. I got to go find me some other little boy to work with. No. He stood right there with him. Well, that's your Holy Spirit. You got your own personal Jiminy Cricket living right here, guiding you and helping you and molding you and pushing you in the right direction. If it helps to know that you got a little personal Jiminy Cricket, somebody ought to be shouting just because you got one. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to break it down. He sustains us. He is our helpmate. He does what we need, but sometimes we grieve him by not following what he's telling us to do. And we got to work on that. All of us, individually and collectively. Amen. We're going to move on. Here we go. Verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, it sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? You got it? I don't know. I don't know. Y'all got it? It was easy, right? Not. See, we are born of the flesh, which means we are born into sin and prone to live a life that is sinful. We just can't help it.
The flesh gets weak. The flesh controls us. The flesh wants what the flesh wants. And the flesh knows how to get you to do what it wants you to do. Even when you know you're not supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. But now, don't forget what Luke 8:17 says. Jesus said, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known to come to light." So while you're lying to yourself about what you're doing, Jesus knows it all. Now, some of us have to take a personal self-reflecting inventory. You don't have to answer out loud, because then everybody's going to know your secrets. Shh. It's personal self-reflection. I've had to do this myself, so I don't mind sharing it with you, and you can do it, and then you tell somebody else to do it, and by the time everybody gets it done, we'll be on the right track as to where we need to go with Jesus. Amen? Okay. I get this from our children also, so I know if the children believe it, they had to hear it from the adults somewhere. How do you say that you are a Christian and continue to lie and gossip and drink and have affairs? Holly, I might have went a little bit too far with that one. That was one of those big ones. We're talking about those little sins. Don't talk to your neighbor. I don't want to sit next to them. They just did something to me like 1942. The little sins. Now that you got those in your mind, think of the big sins. I'm not going to tell you what they are, because you know what they are. Everybody got their big sin in your head. Don't yell it out. People going to talk about you. All right. Now, let me tell you the difference. There is none. A little sin is a sin. A medium-sized sin is a medium-sized sin. It's a sin. A big sin is a sin. And Jesus came to die for our sins. We cannot be in the presence of God if we are sinful. I don't know about y'all, but I'd swear I was going to hell if I didn't have Jesus. How many of you can honestly say, "I know I'm going," even before you met him? You thought you was going. Well, my mama told me. I heard the pastor say, but what does Jesus say? And Jesus' response is based on your response. This is a proactive relationship. It's two ways. It's not one way. It's a two-way street. And we have to make sure that we are following our direction so that when he comes down from his direction, we'll meet in the middle and commune. Hallelujah, God. So this is what happens. We're just going to walk straight through what happens when you become a believer. Because it's confusing for people, especially new believers. It's confusing. You hear a lot of preachers tell you a lot of things, and some of them just aren't true. Amen? Amen. So this is what happens. You come to church. Any church. It ain't got to be Shiloh. You come to church. You're paying attention. You love the music. You like the way it makes you feel on the inside. You're watching everybody shouting. You're watching them clap their hands. You're listening to the testimonies. Everything seems to be going good for them, and you're not having such an easy time. That's why you're in the church, because somebody told you if you came to church, you give your life to Christ and everything will be all right. No, that's not how it works. Let's find out how it works. You join the church.
And this is what we all say to ourselves. I know you said it. Oh, things are going to be so much better now. I'm going to let God have control over my life, and he's going to work things out. I surrender it all to you, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Lies. It's just lies. I've accepted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I do believe that he died on the cross and he rose again and he ascended into heaven and he's coming back one day. I believe it. I know it to be so. I'm a born again baptized believer. But here we go. It's months later. And you ain't changed. Hold on, monthers. It's years later. And you ain't changed. What's wrong with this picture? What's going on? Did Jesus not hear me the first time? Did I not get something right? Did I not understand what I was doing when I came down and joined the church? Maybe God just doesn't forgive me. It ain't God. Maybe you haven't forgiven yourself. See, when you joined him, he washed it all away. It's gone. It's gone. But let me tell you, that's not a license for you to go out and do it again. He earnestly wants you to try to stop. Now, I'm going to emphasize try because it's not easy. It takes some time. It takes some time. There's so much wrong with us. There's so much anger and so much pain and so much resentment, so much hurt, so much disbelief, so much unfaithfulness to God that it takes time. So don't think that just because you join the church, everything is going to be roses. It's not. Because the very moment that you said, yes, you're marrying Jesus, I do. The devil said, I will. You said, I do take Jesus. The devil said, I will mess her up. The devil said, I do want to be around when you need Jesus and you're thinking and you're calling and you're praying and he doesn't show up. The devil is always right there. He's talking to your Jiminy Cricket. Back to Jiminy Cricket. Okay, so in the other fairy tales, you got the bad devil, and you got the good angel. And they're always battling each other, right? You can learn a lot from children's stories. You really can. That's the way life is today. We battle against good and evil all the time. And that's just the way life is meant to be. But guess what? We win every single time. Every single time. And you say, preacher, how do you say that we win every time when this happened to me? When that happened to me? When I lost my parents at a young age? When I got cancer, when my child died, when I got evicted, when I lost my job, where is Jesus? He's standing right there with you. He didn't turn from you. You turned from him. But he's patient. I love him. He's patient. He's waiting right there for you. As long as it takes. But this could be a problem too. Because our as long as it takes is not his as long as it takes. Right? See, you're really living on borrowed time anyway. Because they say the moment you're born is the moment you start dying. Amen? I need you to know that you can accept Christ before you go. Because I haven't been there. I know what I've read, but I haven't been there. So I can't tell you what's going to happen when you get there if you did not do what you were supposed to do on this side. I can pray for you. I can intercede on your behalf. I can ask God for your forgiveness. But I do not judge, cannot judge, will not judge, and therefore I'm going to let him do that.
But when you're standing before the judgment seat, what do you want to hear him say? When you're standing before the judgment seat, do you want him to say, you know, I know that you did some wrong, but your good outweighs your bad? Do you want to hear Jesus said, I saw you do what I've asked you to do. You fed the hungry, you clothed the homeless. You took care of the orphans and the widows. Or do you want to hear him say, well, you know what? When they were outside on your street fighting and beating each other down, you were cowering in the corner in your kitchen talking about, I need 911. When all you really need to do is go out and say, no, no, not in front of my house. I can do that. I don't know about y'all. I do that. I really do. People think I'm crazy. It's okay. Because I'm covered in the blood. I'm covered in the blood. I don't let anything just happen in front of my house. Now, y'all, I live on Jersey Street. Whoo. Yeah, you know. Yes, praise the Lord. What happens down that end? That end, way down that end. I live on the good end. Whatever happens down at that end, I'm not going to lie. I'll go down there, but I ain't going down there while they're shooting. But I'll pray for you while they're shooting. I'll go visit you later. I'll get people together to help you. I know Jesus said be responsible, and I'm going to be responsible, but sometimes y'all get yourselves in these messes and you expect God to just come and clean it up for you, and he is not a maid. He gives us the tools to do what we need to do. Now we've got to use those tools. So here it is. He says you must be born of the water and the Spirit. Don't wait. If you were not doing it before, do it now. If you were doing it before, do it even more. You should be reading your word, going to service, getting in a Bible study, getting in a prayer circle. I don't care if you do it online. You can do it at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., 4 a.m., or 6 p.m. Whatever it is you need to do to suit you, you need to do it. You can no longer afford to just be a pew member sitting down doing nothing while everybody else is around here trying to help everybody. You have a gift. God has blessed you. Use your gift. Walk in the authority that God has given you. For when you start walking in the authority, things will change. I can't walk in your authority. Pastor can't walk in your authority. Only you can walk in your authority. Now hold up. Don't get it twisted. Pastor is the pastor. Your authority is not equal to his authority. Hallelujah, Jesus. But he's given you power. He's given you power. And the power starts with being born again. If you're not yet born again, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you were raised Pentecostal and then you moved over to Christianity. To Catholicism. I don't care what you did in your past. Right now, Jesus is saying, I'm standing here waiting for you. He's giving you a personal invitation. If it was to a party, you'd be opening and RSVPing. So right now, I just want you to understand that today you have an opportunity to do an RSVP. It's the most important one you'll ever do. Are you born again? Are you born of the Spirit and of the water? Or did you just come in and say, I'm here? My prayer for you is that this year you will walk in your authority. Yes, the year is almost over. Whoo! It went by so fast. That ought to be an indication. When time starts to fly that fast, Jesus must be around the corner. I'm waiting for him to come back, and I'm ready to go when he wants me to go. But hey, are you going with me? That's the question. Won't you stand to your feet?
deacons, deaconess, clergy, we're going to extend an invitation. Hallelujah, God. If you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no better day than today. It's a brand new mercy. And if you can acknowledge that He is your Lord and Savior, it's a brand new grace. We offer Him to you right now. Thank you, God. And perhaps we have one in the house today that has accepted the Lord Jesus, but has gone away from the fold. Either you're searching for a new location to worship God, or you want to restore your relationship with the church, Shiloh Baptist. We offer that to you right now. No perfect church, no perfect people, one perfect God. I thank you, Lord. Come on and give God a hand. Come on and give God a hand. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.